In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Notice what he says. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. He lists many of these times in the following verses. And in verse 4, he contrasts two of those times. He says this, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn and a time to dance. This morning, I do not want us thinking about the two negatives. This morning is not a time to weep. This morning is not a time to mourn, but it is a time to laugh and it is a time to dance. I bet you never thought you'd hear a preacher say that. But it's true. Today is a day of celebration for the Oceanside congregation. And as I'm thinking about celebration and Scripture, there are many times in the Bible where celebrations occurred. One of those times was in the Old Testament. David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem. In fact, he had built a brand new tabernacle in which to house the Ark of the Covenant. The first time he went to bring the Ark in, there was problems, were there not? In fact, not only was there problems, but there was a death that occurred on that particular day that hindered his progress. 3 months later, however, he was successful in bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the holy city of Jerusalem. And the Bible says this, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. 2 Samuel 6, verse 14. Here was a time of celebration, was it not? David finally accomplished the purpose that he desired, to bring the Ark of God into the city of God and have it placed where it needed to be placed, in the capital city. In the New Testament, we find other celebrations therein. One of those involves a parable of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember the parable of the prodigal son? Here was a young man who goes to his dad, asks for his inheritance. He takes that, he leaves and goes into a foreign land. He spends all of his money. He wastes his substance on riotous living. He finally finds himself a job feeding the hogs and eating the husks that the hogs would eat. My friends, he was lost and he was helpless in a foreign country. But fortunately for that young man, he came to himself, the Bible says. He repented of his evil ways and he immediately rises and he goes back to his father and he pleads for his father's forgiveness, doesn't he? And it was at that time that his father made a great celebration, didn't he? And his father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it that we may eat and be merry. Wow, a celebration was about to occur. For this my son was dead and is alive. He was lost, but he is found. Notice those last words. And they began to be merry. What a party. This son who had returned had an older brother who wasn't present when his brother came back home. After he finished in the fields, he neared the house, and the Bible says that as he came nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing. Luke 15, verse 25. My friends, in that home that day, there was a wonderful celebration, was there not? You see, there is a time to laugh, and there is a time to dance, the Bible says. Sometimes those times to laugh and dance are in our individual lives, aren't they? And sometimes those times to celebrate are found when various churches accomplish great milestones in their existence. And such is the case today, isn't it? The Oceanside congregation is celebrating its 39th anniversary as a local congregation of the Lord's people. 39 years. That's older than I've been alive. I'm just kidding about that. Okay. 39 years. Wow. The title of our lesson this morning is this, A Time to Celebrate. When we come together for celebrations, not only do we need to celebrate, but we also need to stop, and maybe we need to do some other things as well as we go through that period of celebration. So let's talk about some of the things that you and I need to be doing today during this celebration. Number one, it is a time to rejoice, is it not? There are many endeavors that individuals engage in that are not successful. Did you know that most businesses fail within the first 2 years after they've been established? That's amazing, is it not? Today we find many individuals who enter into marriage relationships, and within 3, 5, 7 years, those marriages have been dissolved and are no longer successful. I find it interesting that 7 of the 7 churches of Asia, about which we read in the Revelation, no longer exist upon the face of the earth. You see, there are some endeavors that just aren't successful. To exist for 39 years, that ought to bring joy to a congregation's heart. Today is a time to what? To laugh, and today is a time to dance, according to Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 4. In a few moments, you and I are going to gather in the fellowship hall, aren't we? And we're going to eat a wonderful fellowship meal together. Notice this. It is a time for us to eat the fatted calf. Now that's figurative. I don't know that anybody cooked one last night. Okay. But there may be a roast back there. Somebody said they might bring one. We need to rejoice that the Oceanside congregation is still here in Atlantic Beach, and that we are still doing everything we can do to serve the cause of Jesus Christ in this particular community. Sadly, there are always some Debbie Downers in congregations, aren't they? And the Debbie Downers, they have no ability to look at the positive. They always look at the negatives. We also have some, what I call Smokey the Bears. They're the ones who are trying to always throw a little water on the fire, aren't they? Things ain't as good as what you say they are, preacher. You know, guess what? We don't need any Debbie Downers and Smokey the Bears today, do we? None. Oceanside is here. Oceanside is still thriving, and guess what? We have done some great things in the past, and guess what? We can still do some great things in the future if we want to. It can be done. Point number two, today is also a day to reflect, isn't it? We need to ask ourselves at least 2 questions. Number one, why are we here? Now what I mean by that is, how in the world did the Oceanside congregation come to exist? Years ago, the founding members of this congregation were members of another congregation on the beach, weren't they? Sadly, error raised its ugly head in that congregation. The error that was there at that time was marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we could go into a long discussion of what the difficulty was and what the struggle was, but it was error. After many attempts, many discussions, many meetings, individuals invited that congregation who sat down and talked with the various individuals, they found that they were not going to be able to reconcile. They were not going to be able to make this error go away. In fact, it was going to persist and continues to do so. The faithful had no choice but to leave that congregation and to form another congregation of the Lord's people, and that was the Oceanside Congregation. Now some might ask, is that scriptural? Is that right? Should such a thing as that be done? Well, the Bible exhorts us, does it not, to not continue with error. Paul writes in Romans 16, 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Set your eyes on those individuals who are not holding to the truth and do what? Tarry with them, linger with them, fellowship them. No, avoid them, the Bible says. False teachers entered into the church at Corinth in the first century. Listen to how Paul counseled those individuals. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, God says. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There are times when faithful members cannot remain members of a congregation when error persists therein. My friends, the pure, unadulterated doctrine of Christ is still important to the Oceanside congregation. Our God gave us His Word, and He wants us to adhere to that Word just as strictly and just as purely as we possibly can. Paul said, "For we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God." You see, there are individuals who pervert, who twist, who manipulate God's Word. And Paul says, we're not of that number. Who wants to be of that number? A corrupt doctrine cannot save. It's an impossibility. And Paul wrote to Titus, in Titus chapter 2, verse 7, he counseled him on how to be a minister and what he needed to do. And he says this, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing what? Uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. The next verse says, sound speech, which cannot be condemned. My friends, there is a truth that exists in the pages of this Word. You hear that? There is a truth. There is one truth that exists. Not many. There is one truth. And it does not need to be polluted. It does not need to be adulterated. It does not need to be changed and multiplied. And the Oceanside congregation is doing all they can do to adhere to the precious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to stop and we need to reflect, don't we? Why are we here? Because there were individuals who loved the truth of the gospel. The next question is this, who brought us here? Did you know there's only a handful of original members still in this congregation today? I didn't stop to count. I'd venture to say there's less than 10 of the original. Bill says there's only 4 of the originals. Wow, that's less than 10. I got that right. 4 original members here in this congregation. What that means is this. Most of us who are here now did not fight the fight. Most of us who are here now, we did not expend the blood, the sweat, and the tears needed to form this congregation of the Lord's people. We are resting on the backs and efforts of those who have gone before us, aren't we? You and I need to stop. And we need to reflect about the sacrifices that were made back then. We need to reflect upon the time that was involved to build this congregation. We need to reflect upon the money that was contributed. We need to reflect upon the battles that were fought back then. We need to reflect upon the teaching and preaching that has brought us to this particular point in our history. A time to reflect. I find it interesting that Many individuals easily criticize the past generations, don't they? It's sad. And the reason I find it sad is because those same individuals who are the critics, they could not and they would not do what those individuals did in days gone by. You see, it took great faith to do what was done. It took courage on the parts of those individuals. It took a huge dose of commitment by those individuals. It took a lot of service and it took a lot of endurance for those individuals to form a brand new congregation that has now lasted 39 years in Atlantic Beach. That wasn't easy. You may not know the names of those individuals. I'm talking about all of them back then. And we certainly may not be able to put faces to those names, but guess what? We know those individuals existed. Why? Because we are here as a result of their efforts. Anniversaries are a time to remember, aren't they? And today we tell those individuals, we will not forget what they did. And it's sad if we ever do. Point number three. It's a time of recognition. If we wanted to, we could spend a lot of time and we could make several phone calls and we could get several of those individuals who started the Oceanside congregation back here today. And we could bring them up one by one and they could talk to us. They could tell us about some of those experiences, some of the battles that were fought, some of the sacrifices that were made in those days. We could do that, but we haven't done that, have we? But here's what we are asking you to do. We are asking you today to recognize those individuals before the throne of the Almighty God. You and I need to give thanks for what they did, and you and I need to give thanks for what we have because of them. I'm grateful that I have the Oceanside congregation to work and labor with as a minister. Maybe you're not grateful to be able to be a member here, but you ought to be. Here's something that's interesting. It is never against the law of God to be grateful for something, is it? Never. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Paul gives a long list of individuals who manifested unbelievable faith in days gone by. As you read through that list, we are grateful for the example of those individuals, aren't we? I'm thankful we have individuals like Abraham and Moses and Sarah. And many of the others who are listed there who show what kind of faith they had. But can't we also give thanks for those individuals? It's not enough just to follow their example. I can bow my head before the throne of God and I can tell God, God, I'm grateful and I'm thankful that we have these wonderful men and women who have lived their lives in such a way that it helps me to be a person of faith in today's society. Paul said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My friends, you and I need to give thanks every day for our blessings, and one of those is this congregation and those individuals who fought to bring this congregation into existence. Point number four, make today a time of rededication. As we live our Christian lives, we sometimes become complacent, don't we? I'm satisfied. I'm doing this little thing or I'm doing that little thing, and we're happy with what we're doing. Sometimes we become lukewarm, don't we? Oh, I'm not cold, but I'm sure not on fire. I'm just kind of tepid. Well, that's a good word, isn't it? Sometimes the important things of life are put on the back burner, aren't they? Sometimes we have a tendency to forsake our duties and our obligations and our responsibilities as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. The reality is this: sometimes we just do not adequately prepare for the future, and by that I should say eternity. Anyone in here described by those statements? It's easy to do, isn't it? Anniversaries like today remind us of what's important, and they give us the ability to light the fire again that's within us. And my friends, when that fire is relit, then you and I can recommit ourselves. We rededicate ourselves to the work that needs to be done. Anniversaries remind us that now we are the builders. Something that's unique about the church is that we never quit building it, do we? Oh, we build the walls for this building, the educational wing, whatever. But as far as the church, we never quit building the temple of God. You and I are now the individuals who are the team players on the ball field, aren't we? Right now, every one of us who are Christians are the soldiers who are fighting in the trenches against the enemy. David hit a pretty low spot in his life after his sin with Bathsheba, and after he consorted and had Uriah the Hittite killed. That's a pretty low spot, isn't it? I don't know exactly how many months passed, but it was at least a year in the life of David that all of that cover-up took place. Can you imagine that? He committed adultery, killed the woman's husband, married the woman. Now they're about to bring a child into this world. The child is born. And through the entirety of that process, David is having to live with the guilt and the burden of his conscience. And we read about it in the Psalms. Nathan finally convicted him, didn't he? David, thou art the man. You are the one who is guilty. And in Psalm 51, we read about David's rededication to the Almighty God. And it began first with his confession of sin. Notice, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Psalm 51, verse 3. My friends, if you and I can never acknowledge our sin, then we will never rededicate ourselves to the cause of Christ. Never. Before David could ever get better, he first had to go to God and tell God, God, I've sinned against you. And he says that, does he not? Against thee and thee only have I sinned, he said. But notice, he prayed for two things. He prayed for cleansing and he prayed for renewal in verses 10 through 12 of that same psalm. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Notice also, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Here's a man who wants to recommit himself, rededicate himself to God. He doesn't want to get farther from God. He wants to get nearer to God. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Folks, there's a lesson. Renewal and restoration is oftentimes needed in all of our lives from time to time. We get down, we get discouraged, we get preoccupied, we get involved in things that are earthly rather than spiritual in nature, and we need to stop. And we need to ask for forgiveness. And we need to rededicate ourselves to the cause of Christ. And an anniversary Sunday gives us that opportunity, doesn't it? 39 years ago, that's a long time, isn't it? 39 years ago, a group of Christians were determined for a sound congregation to exist in Atlantic Beach. Not only did they determine for a sound congregation to be here, but they also wanted this church to serve the beach community. And today we remember that. It's a time to rejoice, isn't it? It's a time to reflect upon what's been done. It's a time to recognize those individuals and go to God and give thanks for those individuals for what they've done. And it's a day to rededicate ourselves to the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Today there's still a group of Christians, not the same group, but there's still a group of Christians who desire for a sound congregation of the Lord's people to exist in Atlantic Beach. And not only to exist, but also to serve this community and strive to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and those who are dying. If you're not a member of the Oceanside congregation, we want you to be desperately. We don't hesitate to tell you what it takes to become a Christian. We're not ashamed of that. They're the Lord's requirements, not ours. But if you'll hear the truth, if you'll believe in the Christ as the Son of God, if you'll repent of your sins, confess the beautiful name of Jesus, we'll immerse you, baptize you into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Dear Christian, where are you today? I'm talking about those who are members here at Oceanside specifically. Are you on fire? Are you truly committed? You see, what we do today may make or break another 39 years. Wouldn't it be wonderful if 39 years from now, someone was standing in this pulpit talking about us and how we maintain this congregation of the Lord's people? Is there sin in your life? Do you need to repent of that? Do you need to respond as together we stand and sing?